If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Welcome to a special bonus edition of the podcast, and welcome to a show that I've called Why Fleet EV Rules Are Way More Important Than You Think. Let me tell you a story. In November 2021, the Belgian Parliament passed a tax reform that most Europeans never even heard about. It phased out the depreciation write-offs for gas guzzlers, and by 2026, now, that deduction is completely gone. Combustion-engined company cars became 0% tax deductible. But a battery electric vehicle stays 100%. And that signal was unmistakable, so the market responded with no hesitation back in 2021. Corporate EV uptake surged, climbing between about 13 and 15% every single year. And by last year, Belgium's fleet zero emission vehicle share was 54.2%. In 2021, corporates were at 8.8%. It's gone from 8.8 to 54% just by changing one little itsy-bitsy tax rule to persuade corporate fleets to go EV. Over the same period, Germany, Europe's industrial heavyweight, has kind of lumbered towards 19%. Yay, go Belgium! It proves something simple. Change a tax rule, change the market. Welcome back to a bonus edition of the podcast. Patreon supporters get these shows ad-free and first by 7 days. I'll never put the bonus shows as something really breaking news or topical. So if you don't want to pay for Patreon, that's absolutely fine. Just wait a week and just wait to get these shows 7 days after the patrons hear it. But I think it's one of the things I can do to say an enormous thank you to the Patreon heroes, the list of legends of people who put their hand in their pocket and support EV News Daily themselves or through their business or through an organisation. Thank you so much. And otherwise, just hear the free ad-supported version of this show. All right, let's get back to it then. The precedent matters in Belgium because in December 2025, the European Commission unveiled a regulation that could remake how Europeans buy, drive and buy their cars second, third, fourth hand. It was, and this is about as dry as I'll get, I do have a little bit of per capita GDP to talk about later. But for now, this is as dry as we'll get. The Clean Corporate Vehicles Regulation is part of the wider automotive package. And what this is about is setting out to electrify corporate fleets. Not the kind of cars you and I buy, but the kind of fleets that are buying hundreds of cars at a time. It's the single largest slice of Europe's new car pie. The strategy is actually quite elegant. Turn company cars into a conveyor belt, and it'll push EVs from corporate fleets into private buyers' hands in a few years' time. And if Europe wants to change the kind of cars that we buy, well, you can do a few things. You can set mandates and tell people you will buy an EV. Or you can do these kind of sophisticated things, which are actually kind of simple to put in place, and just mean that the market will have loads of really good, nearly new EVs coming off of fleets in a few years' time because of the way that works. Now, the Commission agrees with that much. has a proposal called the Clean Corporate Vehicle Regulation. This isn't law, by the way. It's got to go through the legislators, but still. It's tucked quietly into the wider automotive package for the EU, and it wants to push corporate fleets towards zero and low emission vehicles, ZLEVs. Hold up, you say? I've never heard of that phrase before, and I'm right there with you. What's a ZLEV? What's a ZLEV? Because I've heard of ZEVs, because we have to call them that sometimes, because I call them BEVs, BEVs, pure battery electric vehicles, zero emission cars. But if you're a regulator, right, if you're writing the stuffy rules, you can't write BEV because you're dictating a technology, battery electric vehicle. So you've got to write ZEV, so ZEV, zero emission vehicle. So that is, for instance, hydrogen or any other technology neutral solution. They just can't be seen as favouring BEV, but let's face it, it's the only technology in town. So, the simple idea is that corporate fleets matter because they're big. Get this, corporate fleets are 60% of new car registrations in the European Union, and for vans, it's 90%. 60% of the cars bought are with fleets. They clock higher annual mileage than private vehicles. They spew more emissions because they're driving further. And because companies rotate their cars, well, maybe 2, 3, 4 years, what do you reckon, coming off a finance lease agreement, they are the primary source of still relatively young electric vehicles flowing into the second-hand market. A market which, by the way, a channel, which is how eight out of 10 people buy their car. So the used car market's really important. That means that the humble fleet manager should be wearing some sort of superhero cape. Because if fleet managers go EV, the rest of us get pretty decent EVs in a few years' time. And company car tax rules can shape the market just as much as an independent, you know, government of a certain country setting some rules. So that's what we're going to get into on the podcast today. I'm going to try and decipher it not only for myself, but for you as well, because I'm guessing you haven't read the policy document, and neither have I. I've just read around it to try and understand it. The Commission's plan, it sounds almost too perfect. You set a quota for clean company cars. You let the big fleets do their work. So buy the cars, run the cars, get them into the used market. We all get to buy good EVs. The same trick that Europe has used many times over the years. You knock over the first domino and the whole line falls. However, Transport and Environment, the NGO, the advocacy company, group for many things, including zero emission vehicle transport, they have a view that Europe has finally turned to the demand side of the market, not just the supply. But it also thinks that the rulemakers, the European Commission, has flinched just at the wrong moment. So, why? It all sounds kind of sensible. So, what does Brussels actually propose then? And what could go through? Because this is largely something that's going to be not debated and not discussed in the EV media, but it's kind of crucial. The regulation does not order any individual company to go EV. They wouldn't get that granular. Instead, it tells the countries, the member states, to make sure that from 2030, a certain amount of new corporate registrations are ZLEVs. National governments still get to make all their own rules, things like fiscal reform and purchase subsidies, and frankly, topics that my mind is not economist enough to fully understand. But as long as the share of zero emission and low emission vehicles hits those numbers, well, the countries, the member states can go about their business. And that gives their finance ministers loads of wiggle room to manoeuvre and the lobbyists to ply their trade. Only large businesses even fall within the scope of these rules that I'm talking to you about today. They've got to be two of the following three thresholds, either 25 million euros in the bank, 50 million euros turnover, or more than 250 employees. And this is an amazing stat, by the way. I had to read it a couple of times. And so these big businesses are 0.16% of all companies in the EU. And that's not surprising. That's not the stat that blew me away. But these large companies are the rarity. 0.16% of all companies. They register 37% of new cars. Wow! Big companies really do buy a lot of fleet vehicles. 0.16% of companies buy 37% of new cars. No wonder all the car makers have big fleet departments and offer massive discounts for fleet buyers. You would, wouldn't you? Well, the commission builds the targets around ZLEVs, and that's where it starts to get a little bit funky. Because the targets are different across five bands of GDP per capita. All right, no more stuff like that. Wealthier member states have higher quotas, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So the countries that can have to do more heavy lifting. And altogether, so the plan is this. 69% of the cars that big companies buy in 2030, 69% should be ZLEVs. And then underneath that, 45% of those should be zero emission vehicles. Well, low emission, ZLEV, zero and low emission vehicles, low emission is defined as less than 50 grams of CO2 per kilometre. So that's plug-in hybrids and EREVs, right? Because we all know the actual rules are not real world. The actual official guidance on how efficient these vehicles are is nothing like how they're used in the real world. I'll get onto that in a minute. So this ZLEV phrase that they've sneaked into the rules really, really matters because it widens the tent, and that's not a good thing. We're not after a broad church here, says T&E. ZEVs mean battery electric vehicles or hydrogen or something else. But ZLEVs are anything that's technically a low emission car, and that pulls hybrids and EREVs in. So Brussels calls that flexibility. T&E calls it a loophole that gives car makers exactly the get-out-of-jail-free card that they've wanted for years to keep flogging their gas guzzlers with some tiny batteries and a plug. Why does T&E say this is really dangerous and weak? Well, the commission did something really awkward in its own impact assessment. So I'm sure you can imagine when they start to put a policy document together, they figure they should probably run some scenarios, get a bit of data in and work it out. So that's what the European Commission did. They ran some modelling and some scenarios. And what they did was set a very low ambition scenario. And I like that. Let's set the bar low. You're talking my language now. So they set the bar really low. And they set that at 65% zero emission vehicles for the fleets. And that was their modelling for the low ambition one. So like everyone can hit that. And they went 65%. But do you remember what I just said? The actual regulations when they were written and published were for 45% BEVs, not 65%, which was their own modelling of a low ambition scenario, not 65%, 45%. Well, under the revised standards for cars, the overall EU market, so that is private and corporate combined, by the way, but Europe itself expects to hit 47% by 2030. What? So the Europe itself, EU itself, says, well, we'll probably get to about 47% in 2030 of BEVs. And yet this new regulation, they're like, oh, do you reckon we can do 45? Yeah, you think? We're definitely going to get there. So Transport and Environment points out, and may I add, with some restrained language, that 45% is below even the least ambitious option. If Brussels wants to appear serious, you can't publish a plan that it's already beaten itself. So country by country, for the seven member states that have already gone EV pretty quickly in their business fleets, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Portugal, Sweden, that 2030 target is pretty much already achieved. T&E's demand is blunt, though. Get rid of this fudge factor of ZLEVs. Keep what you've said, 69% of fleets by 2030, but just make it ZEVs. So that makes sense. I mean, 69%, it's almost three quarters. We're all friends here. Let's round up. Three quarters of corporate fleets in 2030 have to be pure BEV. I mean, that seems fine. It's the part that tends to get lost in ZLEVs. Of course, if they've got the option of buying combustion cars, the car makers really want to sell those combustion cars because they've got engines to sell, and they'll just put a small battery and a plug socket on the side of it. So plug-in hybrids are really at the heart of how you define this whole rulemaking, I think. So let's take a break And I'll come back and we'll talk about that. And also, why it's really, really important for the cars that you and I buy. Back in a mo.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Let's get into plug-in hybrids. No offense to anyone listening to this right now who has one, and if you charge yours overnight, then you're in the minority, it turns out. And maybe you've been onto forums and community groups, and all of your friends and peers are, oh, I've got a plug-in hybrid too, and I charge mine overnight. The data simply does not back that up. The risks of locking in polluting, combustion, gas-guzzling cars, petrol and diesel into the regulations is a really big danger. The onboard fuel consumption meters that show real-world consumption show three, four, five times, often five times more emissions than the official data. And there's actually a good reason. And it's not nefarious. And it's not because anyone's, you know, a baddie in this story. Because many company car drivers have fuel cards. And if you have a fuel card, there is zero reason to spend your own money charging your car overnight. And some companies have tried to do this. They've got elegant solutions in place, and I applaud that. And some companies do refund you for the electricity that you charge with overnight. But if you've got a fuel card, why are you charging it at home? It's just costing you money. And Brussels, look, even the lawmakers know it's such a con, because they have committed to updating what is called the utility factor. Now, that's just another way of describing how they measure real world versus the lab. The utility factor has been promised for an update for ages. They say it's going to be coming in 2027 or 2028 to bring the official values of CO2 emissions in line with the real world. And it's all doable because real world sensors can tell you right now in real time what those emissions are for those vehicles. In fact, I told you on the podcast recently about a German institute, the Fraunhofer Institute, looking at real world data, which showed that it's five times more polluting to drive a plug-in hybrid than the official numbers. And so front runners in this, as I say, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, Portugal, all they need to do is carry on the current plan that they're on. There's countries like France, Spain and Poland, which have to nudge themselves up a little bit. And there's countries that have got more of a steeper climb. Germany, Italy, Austria and Ireland would have to maybe have their corporate fleets outgrow the actual overall EV market by 7 to 8 percentage points a year. Sounds daunting until you look at the real world. And let me take you back to the story which I started this whole podcast with about 4 years ago. No, it's not been that bad, has it? I've been trying to get through it and make it sound interesting, because it's a really, really important topic. And that's Belgium. Belgium offers the clearest demonstration. Tax reform in November 2021, which largely went under the radar. Nobody held demonstrations that, oh, we're all being forced to drive electric vehicles now. There's a mandate for electric vehicles. Politically, I don't agree with it. None of that happened, right? Simply, combustion cars got more expensive for fleets, so they went EV, and then lots of EVs became available in the second-hand market, and people like you and I went and bought them at really good prices. Everybody wins! And so it went from 8.8% to 54% over that time, corporate EVs. Denmark tells a similar story. The Danish tax system heavily favours corporate zero-emission vehicles. Battery electric vehicles pay only 40% of the registration tax, enjoy a substantial fixed deduction, about 22,000 euros, and are exempt from the CO2 surcharge applied to combustion models. These measures have delivered annual growth in corporate fleets of EVs of around 12 to 15 percentage points a year over the last 4 years. France, a late mover, many would say, in its reform of company car tax and car taxation, raised benefit in kind for combustion cars, like we did here in the UK, by the way, tightened CO2-based levies and lowered the weight tax threshold, and all of a sudden, the corporate fleet went EV by 7 percentage points last year. And that lesson's consistent. Fiscal reform works. It works fast. It's kind of boring if you don't fully understand it, like me. However, it does not require any kind of exotic policy instruments. You can just get your head around this and work out, hang on, corporate fleets are really important. Tierney says plug-in hybrids are about just under 12% of new registrations in European fleets right now, and that if it follows the Commission's proposal, it'll go to 24%. Oh, so it will double plug-in hybrids on the road. So this policy that is meant to electrify fleets actually doubles the share of cars that rely on an engine. Wonderful. So TNE's second demand is take out plug-in hybrids. Now, here's the 42 billion euro question. This is actually really, really interesting, and I didn't realise this till I read the report, and I thought, hold on a minute, this is brilliant. This kind of went under the radar as well. It's actually Article 4 of the draft regulation, which is to knock subsidies for combustion on the head completely. Well, now I'm fully behind it. Ending all fossil fuel subsidies for corporate fleets, an end of all public financial support for petrol and diesel, and to make any remaining support contingent on those cars being built only in Europe is enormous. So what are each country's corporate subsidies go to in terms of petrol and diesel in corporate fleets? Italy, 16 billion euros a year. Germany, 14 billion euros a year. France, 6.5. Poland, 6 billion euros. And there's things like benefit in kind reductions, depreciation write-offs. These are VAT deductions. They're fuel cards for fossil company cars. It drains the public finances, and we just keep throwing tens of billions of euros at subsidising combustion cars when we really, really don't need to. Petrol and diesel SUV company car drivers can get up to 9,000 euros less taxes per year than a private buyer, and that's just not fair. So, Article 4, hey, I'm fully behind it. I'm backing that one. No more public money flowing straight into the pockets of fossil company cars. Big thumbs up from me. And, you know, tying it into making the cars in Europe, I guess, is a good thing as well. Under the Commission's current targets, the Made in EU demand would amount to about 1.2 million electric vehicles between now and 2030. Under Transport and Environment's suggestion of take out plug-in hybrids, raise the percentages, and that's another 700,000 European-built EVs in the next 4 years. Sounds like a good thing to me. Now, why should car makers care? Well, this was interesting to me as well, because all the car makers have got to hit CO2 targets, and they have complained about it forever, and there's been a bit of wiggle room, which this is all part of, by the way. But largely, they've got to hit CO2 targets or pay massive fines. They should be behind this, because if fleets buy more EVs, they hit their targets. For instance, Volkswagen will hit their CO2 targets if fleets go 69% EV. BMW, well, they hit their target if fleets go 70%, 71% EV. So the car companies themselves should be backing pure BEVs in fleets. It's a tough one, because they also want to sell plenty of engines as well, because they can make money from that. Look, here's the real thing for you and I. The social case for ambitious corporate fleets. The used car market. 8 in 10 people buy used cars. We get really interested in new cars, lease deals and monthly offers. 8 in 10 people are buying a used car. Corporate fleets rotate vehicles every 2, 3, 4 years, and is the dominant source of nearly new EVs. As the Commission's current level, the regulation adds no there would be no meaningful extra EVs coming into the second-hand market. But under the Transport and Environment's proposal, the 21 million EVs from corporate fleets entering the market would grow by an extra 3.6 million. And even though I'm no economist, as I like to say many times, I can tell an extra 3.6 million EVs in the market with things like supply and demand, more choice, lower prices, I think it sounds like a win for you and I, personally. Now, the regulations journey through the European Parliament and the quagmire of European politics, of which I have no interest in studying too closely, it's got to go through the European Parliament and Council. That's where it defines the shape of Europe's car market, probably for the next decade. So I looked at this and thought, oh, I could do a bonus podcast on that. Then I thought, can I really do 20 minutes on fiscal policy? That's not really where I am. But I think it's that important that it's worth, you know, you and I at least raising our awareness of things like this, of how countries, governments, trade blocs can use different rules, and just one little nudge either way can have really profound impacts on the everyday life of everyday people. So this is important. And of course, those 42 billion euros a year going straight to the pockets of fossil fuel corporate drivers, I'm fully behind that going. Corporate fleets will do what they've always done, get the best option for the bottom line. The second-hand market needs more supply of affordable electric vehicles, and European car makers need to sell more EVs. This does sound like we should be more ambitious, have more zero-emission targets, scrap the fossil subsidies, and use company fleets, the largest single point of leverage, to anchor the EV industry and bring zero-emission transport to ordinary people like you and I quicker, not slower. And if we do, we might just have the good people of Belgium to thank. And they would say, ha! We told you so! 5 years ago, change one little rule and produce rapid results. The question is, will the rest of Europe want to follow their lead? The answer will say more about the continent's strategy than any communique following a ministerial summit. As Belgium's corporate tax reform has demonstrated, change a single rule, shift an entire market. This new regulation has the same potential, provided that Brussels does not flinch. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. See you on the next one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.